Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Mon.
Welcome back to Masters of Modern. I am your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
That seemed clever, but it was really obnoxious, and anyone listening is going to be like, is the audio doing okay?
Have you ever, you know, Doppler effect? Do you know what that is?
A Doppler effect?
Yeah. Did you take, like, astronomy or physics?
No.
Okay, so the Doppler effect is when you're at a race car track, when you hear a race car go like,
oh, got
that
it.
Sound, it's sound and light when it's on a moving object
got
will
it.
Bend in a different direction.
Okay.
So sound is the one that people know the most, but in light, it's you can tell how fast, if something is moving closer or farther away to you, based on if it's red or blue
gotcha.
Tinted. If it's blue, it's moving closer because the light is coming at you faster, and if it's moving away from you, that's like a very loose way because light can't go faster or slower because it's the speed of light.
Got it.
That's how that works. But it'll change colors depending on how much effort it needs to get to you.
This is Doppler.
Like in sound, it's like the race car track. It's
yeah,
like,
yeah. All right, let's talk about our episode. Yeah, you're just having a really good time over there.
Tutors. We're talking about tutors today.
Yeah, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Which is kind of like the Doppler effect. They are used to bring things to you.
Right. Tutors.
Of your chosen variety.
Yeah, and this is Masters of Modern, where we talk about modern cards.
Yeah.
Magic.
Or movies.
Yeah.
Like last week.
And I'm Ben Bateman.
I'm Alex Kessler, your hosts. Yeah. We are really appreciative of you guys listening. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we're going to do shout-outs real quick.
Yep.
Go to Twitter and search the MMCast. That's the podcast. I'm at Kes Wiley.
I'm at Ben Bateman Media.
If you haven't noticed, I'm real jet-lagged, which is why this is a weird episode. I keep going to bed at like 10 and then waking up at 3 in the morning and then falling asleep again at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, you were in China for 3 weeks. This is a long one.
Did you say China?
Yeah, that's what I said.
It's a hard C.
Is it?
Well, I guess it's a hard CH.
Yes.
It's a weird episode.
So we're back talking magic. And
this is the type of episode that Ben's going to like look at me and be like, we should record all of this. I'm like, no, we're keeping it.
So, all right. Pretty much, guys, the conversation started on my other station thing that I have on Anchor, where I talk about magic for 10 minutes every day. It's called 10 Minutes of Magic. It's pretty sweet. Download the app, anchor.fm. But anyway, the conversation on there started, which was, what's the
Wait,
best
how
tutor?
Long do you talk on that episode show?
10 Minutes of Magic. Yeah. And it was actually, this all started with a whole conversation about a brew that I'm working on that I'm not going to go into right now. But the point is, I was trying to figure out what the best tutors in Modern are. Like, how can you get the most value? And so I was running across things. I've always talked about the wizard tutor, Vidalcan Ethermage, that I love. I was like, all right, well, Time of Need is interesting if I'm trying to get Lanessa. And Traverse the Ilvenwald is one that came to mind because it's heavily played in a tier one deck right now. And however, that deck is built to make that card good. So I started thinking, how hard is it to make Traverse good? Which then led me to the conversation of, what's the best tutor in Modern? And not just creature tutor, but what's the best tutor in Modern? How do you even define that subject? Is there even a correct answer to that subject?
So I think the best way to do this, and this is the format of the episode, and you agreed to half of this, but I'm adding a little bit of a rider at the end.
Okay.
Is we're going to go through kind of different subjects of types of tutors. So like, enter the battlefield tutors, toolbox tutors, creature tutors, land tutors, and then at the very end, engine tutors. Those are some of the categories. And then at the very end, we're going to decide if we can each come up with what we think is the best tutor in Modern.
The actual, but you want me now to decide?
At the very end, after we have our discussion.
Just announce that I have to make my decision.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what mine is yet either. We're going to discuss. And
okay,
then,
cool.
I think in our discussion, we're going to disqualify some options for the best tutor.
Gotcha.
So you're not going to have to pick some of these because like, an example eventually is going to be Primeval Titan. It may be the best tutor,
sure.
But I think in that conversation, I don't agree with it being in consideration for that.
Right.
Because it does other things. I think pure tutor for the purpose of tutoring. All right, so let's start with, do you want to start or do you want to?
Well, we should just do with the rest of our quick shout outs, which is that we are uncollected.company with Jimmy and Josh. They do a show called The Command Zone. You can also find
Command
them on YouTube.
Zone.
They do Commander content. It's super sweet.
Yep.
We have a Patreon where you guys can find us, and that is patreon.com/themmcast. It helps
it's
us
how
stay
we do stuff. Yep.
In business.
And right now, one of our two main goals, so you know what we're going to be using the Patreon money for, is first is we're going to Go to GP Vegas.
So much fun.
It's going to help us get there and help us kind of meet people that are there and everyone wants to hang out and maybe do a meetup. And then the other important thing is that because of both of our travel schedules, because of my specific travel schedule, I travel a lot and we need to upgrade to a system that allows us to record conveniently from other parts of the world. Like last week, I was in Hong Kong, Ben was here, and I would bet that you guys didn't love the sound quality of that episode and there were some technical difficulties at the end. And so we were looking to eventually invest in a system that allows us to record episodes no matter where we are in the world.
It would be smart for us to do. So
we appreciate your guys' help making it happen. We can't do this without the Patreon. It really is the reason that we keep going on. And you also get a cool, if you join the Patreon, you get to donate. You get to submit deck techs. So we do a deck tech for every block or every set that comes out. So we're either, I think it was last week or next week, depending on if I release this episode first. we did a brew episode and it'll have all the sweet brews that Patreon donators submitted.
Yep.
And you also get a Lifelinker code, which is to the Lifelinker app, which is released by the Command Zone. And you get a sweet Masters of Modern background.
I think we're
one of the rarer ones because our Patreon isn't as robust as some of the other creators. So
okay.
Yeah, you can be more exclusive than other people
sweet.
By being a Patreon donator.
Cool.
So thanks guys for the support. And now on to the episode.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, just search at the MMCast on every social media. We're everywhere. There's pictures of us. You can see what we look like. I'm a brunette and Ben's a blonde. He's more of a Betty. I'm more of a Veronica.
You're loving Riverdale right now.
Yeah, see, look, references to movies and stuff. Okay.
Speaking of which, by the way, just I'm not even going to talk about it. We're just literally going to reference this.
Riverdale is great. You should all watch it.
It's great. I've been calling this for like 3 months. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword was going to flop.
Oh, yeah. Flopped horribly.
$14 million.
Yeah.
That is like, wow. Like, they had planned 6 of these. Do you know that?
Yeah, I know.
How crazy is that?
It's cursed. When was the last King Arthur movie that was good?
Never. I talked about
Sword
this
of the
on,
Stone.
I talked about this.
It's probably Sword of the Stone.
Yeah, not 2004's King Arthur. Because it's directed by Antoine Fuqua, the worst. Anyway, let's keep going.
No. It's all, yeah, like, I think it's the only good one is Sword of the Stone from like 1960.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
All right.
On to tutors.
Sweet.
So, did we explain what a tutor, what the term, because tutor is a magic slingy term. Have we explained what that is for all the new kids on the block?
Yeah, it's just a card. It's a tutor is an effect or card that allows you to search your library and customize the card you're getting. So it's
you're learning.
Yes.
It's teaching you a new spell.
Yeah, you're able to
like a school tutor.
Yeah, you look through your deck and you put a card into your hand.
It's named after the original 5 tutors.
Really?
Yeah.
The original.
That's
5?
Where the slang comes from. Worldly tutor, Inland tutor.
Demonic tutor was before all those.
Oh, Demonic tutor was the first one?
Yeah.
Okay, so Demonic tutor is where
Demonic
it started.
Tutor is the OG tutor. That's like pretty much when I was having this conversation on my station, it was all about modern. And the reason is because Demonic tutor is just an unfairly good tutor. It's just black and one. Search your library for a card. So, like, that's the best tutor ever. Like, clearly. Unless you think that mana efficiency is more important, in which case you could make an argument that one of the others is better because you can end of turn it. And, like, in those old formats, one mana is so important.
I think that, I mean, Demonic Tutor is banned in Legacy and limited in Vintage, so obviously it's, and some of these other tutors aren't, but I think that has more to do with the versatility. Like, Vampiric Tutor is also banned, correct? Am I wrong on that one?
I think you're right.
We don't know anything about Legacy.
Yep.
Other than Top's banned, woo! But Enlightened Tutor probably, did see a ton of play. Like, it was a card that Miracles definitely messed around with. Worldly Tutor really hasn't seen that much play. Blue Tutor is banned, so the Blue Tutor is insanely
Mystical.
Good. Mystical Tutor is bonkers.
And so is Personal Tutor, right?
Personal Tutor?
Well, the... Wait.
Goblin Tutor?
No.
The card that doesn't exist.
The Portal Sorcery version of Mystical Tutor.
Oh.
I think it's called Personal Tutor. Because the black one is called...
A Portal Tutor?
Yes,
Blue Tutor?
Because I was just mixing the Imperial Seal is the black one. Imperial
Seal
is the black sorcery speed of Vampiric Tutor, whereas Personal Tutor is the blue sorcery speed version.
Oh, okay.
So those are all, like, if we're talking
about... I don't think Personal Tutor is banned.
I believe it is. Maybe it's not, but I thought...
I remember when Inland Tutor was banned, and Personal Tutor wasn't added on that list as well.
Oh, interesting.
Not being instant speed is a big deal.
Right, yep.
But beyond that, none of those tutors are legal and modern.
They're all better than what we're talking about.
If you could... unban one of those, one of that era of tutors, what would you ban? I know which one I would unban from a fun, probably okay and modern perspective.
Of all of the ones we just mentioned?
Not we didn't mention the one I would pick. But that cycle of tutors, or what we consider part of that cycle of tutors.
I don't know, actually. I mean,
worldly probably is too good.
Yeah.
And that's the worst one.
Probably Gamble would
be
a fun
Gamble's
one.
My pick, too.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. It, because it...
Gamble
yeah,
would need a reprint, not an unban. It wasn't in modern.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Gamble
printed
would be...
Printed into modern, yeah.
Fun enough. It like because it's like tenuous and you just can totally bone yourself. Like,
yeah,
it's just like,
I think the cost is high enough.
Yeah. But I think people would find a way to abuse it. It'd be really, really
powerful. Yeah. I would like find Grizzle Brands and then I either get them in my graveyard or win.
Yep.
Actually, yeah, I'd be way too good in Goro's Vengeance decks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that deck needs to be banned anyways. Let's force it to happen with a gamble. All right, tutors, let's actually talk about what we're talking this episode.
So I think this is the first place to start. So before we actually get into the types, we should talk about the fact that there are two prominent tutors in Modern that have been banned since the format's inception. They did not start out on the banned list, that were banned after the format was, and they're both effectively green. One is a kind of colorless tutor, but like they're both played in heavy green decks, and that is Birthing Pod and Green Sun Zenith. So Birthing Pod is clearly too good. There's no question that Birthing Pod is better than every tutor on this list. Birthing Pod is, there's no question that should have been banned, and that is too powerful.
Green Sun Zenith is close. I
was asking this question last night, and I wonder, by
today's
standards...
I could see it being unbanned. The problem with Green Sun Zenith is, to me, is the writer of the green half, is you have to have a green creature. So it is extremely strong in a specific way, but then limits decks. And I also think the problem with Green Sun Zenith is Arbor Elf.
Dryad Arbor.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. The fact that for one green on turn one, you can accelerate to two lands and then the card reshuffles is like...
It's the Deathrite Shaman problem.
Yeah.
It's this card is too good early, too good late. And it's way too good at one point.
Yeah.
But making it so it's great on turn one, so it doesn't glut up your hand, and it's great on turn nine is a good sign a card is A, really powerful and good.
Yep.
But B is probably something that is closer to being banned if it becomes too oppressive.
Yeah, I think it's too good. So I don't know.
Plus, Dryad Arbor has the cheating factor to it that's really annoying.
Yes. I don't know if.
I'm going to say Dryad Arbor, and I meant Arbor.
No, Dryad Arbor.
Right. Oh, cool. I got it right.
So
yay!
I think that Green Sun Zenith is really good. I was trying to figure out in my mind last night, does Green Sun Zenith become the best tutor in the format outright if it gets unbanned? Or is it in a conversation with these other ones we're talking about? But the fact that the redundancy of effect is what makes it too good to unban.
No, it becomes the best tutor in the format.
Okay. Through and through.
Actually, I don't know if I agree with that statement anymore. It doesn't find Viscera Seer. It doesn't find Arbor. It doesn't find Archangel of Thune. Well, that's not that relevant. I mean, like, the problem with tutor decks is that they can win through.
I mean, that's pretty relevant. Combos. That deck, the fact that that deck is able to function off of a one mana tutor to get its one mana threat and its two mana threat
totally.
And play them consistently is definitely
no. Yeah, the fact that Traversal Ovenwald adds as the three extra things, but I think that tutors are more dangerous in combo decks in general.
Yes,
and the fact that it doesn't find very key pieces to the premier green tutor deck right now.
Yep.
Mind you, I think Elves just becomes insane.
Right.
And
Elves wasn't
like,
a thing.
The new combo. Yeah, I think there's like.
Yeah, I think Green Sun's right on the edge of being too powerful.
Yeah, I think it's right there. I think Birthing Pod definitely was too powerful. Like,
so
as a person who literally had Birthing Pod built and then had Splinter Twin built and had Jund built before, like every deck is just like, ugh. Knocking them down for me, but I'm banned Bloodbraid Elf. But I think those are the two banned ones. Are there any tutors? I mean, there are a few other tutors that are banned just outright that were banned from the beginning of the format. Stoneforge Mystic.
Yep, Stoneforge Mystic
is the easy one. Is that the only one
that was banned from the beginning? Maybe. Yeah, I can't think of another tutor in Modern that. We wish we could play that we're not able to play. Like
unbanned Stoneforge Mystic.
Yeah, I mean, there's all the stuff that's banned. You know,
yeah, like how is Stoneforge Mystic a problem against Death Shadow? Let's be honest.
Yeah, they just strip it out of your... I mean, you play it on turn two. Sweet. All thoughts ease you. Go.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, not even that. Like, Death Shadow is a one mana 6/6.
Yeah.
Stoneforge Mystic for four mana maybe gets you a five mana 4/4.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Unban it. And it would make Death Shadow worse because the life... Yeah, and they couldn't play together, so it's not like you're making Death Shadow just better, like a deck version, because you don't want lifelink. Oh, man. Come on. What are we doing here?
You're so excited. All right. So we're going to start on... You are just checking right now?
I'm checking the ban list,
Pretty positive there's nothing else that was...
Let's start with tutors. I want to start with... Because you're the most excited about this. Well, let's start with a boring one. Land tutors.
Okay. So the clear best land tutor, no question, bar none, Fetchlands. I mean, they're the... they're the best modern card in the sense that they're ubiquitous in every deck in modern. So they're not even really fair to refer to as like tutors because like they're so specific in what they get. Even if we were to take away Shocklands, like if we took Shocklands out of the format, like if they were all banned, like I don't even think that fetch lands would be a thing, right?
Yeah, there's no other tutors banned. Yeah,
people if they banned Shocklands, people wouldn't play fetch lands just to get the cycle and the
tangle lands,
right?
No, they definitely would.
So that would just be the way decks are. It would just be a lot of come into tapped lands, but the mana base.
It would definitely slow the format down, but they would just get those. Yeah, I mean, look at standard one Jace,
right?
And the fetch lands and the.
Sure. So you're saying is that they would still be played, but it would just mana bases wouldn't lean on them quite as heavily.
If anything, the format becomes more four colory.
Right.
Because you no longer have like, yeah, no, I don't. I think that still would be that they would play both, especially with the cycle lands now, because like you have a choice of both and the cycle lands
kind of
do similar things. I think you'd see less. I think you'd see way more basics being played because you need the basics for the battle for the battle lands.
Sure.
Tango lands, if you will. Bicycle lands definitely help that card. Like I already put bicycle lands in Jund. So like, yeah, that the card's sweet.
So that's fetch lands. That's the best land tutor. I don't think there's any other land tutor coming from a land that is super relevant in modern. Like it's Terramorphic Expanse.
Terramorphic Expanse is a format staple.
Yeah.
That's not true. So here's a question.
Yeah.
Because this is not necessarily a land tutor, but it kind of is. And it is a land that tutors Teleria West.
Yes,
that would be the other land-based land tutor.
Now let's be totally fair. Teleria West is 100% a pet card of both you and myself. Which is like,
oh no, but it, I mean, like it was a very dominant
amulet.
Yeah.
It's just because
one deck that was tier one enough to be banned is enough for me to include a card as most
because
powerful.
It was a land-centric thing. I mean, Teleria
West.
The
deck doesn't work very much without it.
And the fact, but also Teleria West gets lands, but Teleria West also gets zero mana cards, which is one of its.
The reason it was strong is because it would get Summoner's Pact, which would then get Primeval Titans and then win you the game. Yeah. In that deck. But I've definitely searched for a lot of Academy Ruins.
Yep.
With Teleria West before.
Slaughter Pact.
Was gold fishing. I have an Esper list right now that's playing Teleria West that we might talk about one time, and I was using it to just fix my mana.
Slaughter Pact, Pact of Negation, you can Lotus Bloom.
Now you get all the artifacts. So you get everything from
Tormod's
Crypt to Walking Ballista to Hangerback Walker to the Chalice of the Void.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of really good zero mana or XX mana artifacts that like this finds very well. Walking Ballista is a big game. But more on the land side, things that find land. So those are lands that tutor theoretically, but we meant more things that tutor for lands.
And that's like the lowest common denominator, by the way. Like obviously the scale in terms of value with magic is always that the higher the cost, the more powerful the spell. When you're talking about lands that can search out lands, obviously they have to be very balanced because they're free.
Right.
Fetch
lands aren't balanced, but they're ubiquitous.
Yeah.
And Teleria West is obviously balanced. It's only seen play in two decks.
Right.
Ever. Like real decks.
So going through the cards that search for lands. So you have the swath of like the rampant growth type effects, which have gotten played in rampant decks for years.
And Farseek is probably the best of those in the format because it can find Shocklands.
Sakura Tribe Elder,
second best. Third best is Search for the Tomorrow. Actually, I'd say Sakura Tribe Elder is first of these, then Search, then.
Yeah. I've heard of people playing Into the North before because you can get the red green, you can get any of the snowlands. So like if you want to do that style of deck building, you can. But long story short, that's a thing. They're just very specific in one style of deck.
Yeah, the exciting ones in this category for me are the ones that find any land. So Expedition Map is probably the premier one. There's also what's it called? The one that was reprinted in Battle for Zendikar. The green one.
Oh, Sylvan Scrying.
Sylvan Scrying.
Which doesn't see as much play anymore.
They're both four ofs in Tron. Green, red, green Tron.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought they stopped playing Sylvan Scrying for some reason.
No, you really want to find those Tron lands.
So that's good. And then on top of that, you've got a card that we'll probably talk more about later, and that's Traverse the Ovenwald, which is effectively on turn one for one green searches for a basic land and puts it into your hand.
And then, well, I mean, you do have the two big ones. So beyond that, and then one of them we'll talk thoroughly more. And we can talk about it now because let's go into that with these two because they're both in the same category. But the payoff cards of the land ones. And so the first one of those is Scapeshift.
Yep.
So Scapeshift for those who don't know, sacks all your lands, and you can put that many lands into play from your deck of any type.
Any number of lands.
Any, no, it has to be equal to the ones you sack.
I'm saying you sacrifice any number
of
lands.
Yeah.
You don't sack all your lands.
Oh, all your, yeah, sure. Generally, you sack all your lands unless you have a Valakut in play, and then get everything in Valakut, and you win.
Yeah.
As long as you have more than six lands. Six or more lands. It's really good, but it this is the conversation we had before, is do the cards that just kind of read I win on them really count as tutor cards? Yes, this card is specifically searching your deck for things, but your deck is built in setting that up, and it's more just this is the win condition that is most efficient and modern for ramping.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because, look, it's only going to be a card like this is only going to be for one purpose right up until it's not. And then as soon as somebody uses it for something else, we're going to be saying, well, yeah, but this was in front of us the whole time because this was something that we were able to do with this.
Are you referring to the sweet scapeshift into Reclamation?
Oh, that you want to do?
That you sack all your lands on turn four, just the four lands, you get four more, and then you play Splendid Reclamation, getting four lands and a Valakut back. Spicy. Eight lands on turn five.
It's pretty sick. I was more thinking like just the number of times we've seen like a card we thought we understood the uses of get used in another way for something else. But there's so much to cover here. We shouldn't.
The last one on the land one, and this is the premier. This is probably the best of these, all of them.
Yep.
To the extent that I think this card probably should be banned at some point.
Yep.
And I don't think it will right now, but I think right now there's three different cards that got banned because this card exists. Primeval Titan.
Yes, Primeval Titan, exactly.
It's like searches for any two lands. Obviously the Amulet Bloom deck is the most recent premier deck, but if you go all the way back to the Lotus Lands, like the amount of decks that have had the CAD cards banned out of it, that Primeval Titan was a key piece of that deck.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Valakut was banned from the beginning, and that was originally primarily a Primeval Titan deck. It you know, when it was unbanned, Scapeshift kind of took that mantle, but now with Titan Shift decks, like
right.
Primeval Titan is still kind of the big part of what that deck is trying to do.
Yep.
Primeval Titan is one of the most underrated, probably best cards in Modern.
In Magic ever.
Yeah.
It's like insane. If you've never cast a Primeval Titan, it's hard to quite fathom how good it is.
Right.
It's so powerful. A 6/6 for 6 with trample is like already a perfectly fine rate. It's like not a great rate. I would say
6 mana for a 6/6 and a relevant keyword is the generic base level for a 6 drop.
Yeah.
Like all the Titans had that. It was.
You wouldn't play it on its own, but like when you resolve that, even if the lands you're getting aren't even doing anything that relevant, it's already like, okay, so now I have a giant threat you have to deal with, and I'm in a green deck, so I probably played it a turn early.
And let's be honest, you're getting lands that are relevant.
Super relevant, yeah. It creates a ridiculous level of advantage.
Be it Lotus Lands, be it Bounce Lands, be it...
Lotus Lands?
Yeah, the Locust, sorry, Locust Lands.
Locust Lands.
Locust Lands.
I said Lotus Lands. I was like, am I missing something?
No, Locust Lands, sorry. Locust Lands being Kessig Wolf Run with an infect creature, you know, with the infect land.
Inkmon Nexus.
Inkmon, thank you.
In a different format, brand, like, Thespian Sage Dark Depths.
Yeah. Totally legal in this format. But yeah, so like obviously I put him in contention.
Right.
If I were to, the nominee from this category for best
land tutor?
Modern tutor.
Oh, just, okay. Yeah, the nominee for best, sure, is Primeval Titan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I think with it, because we're not including Traverse in this category, we're making that a threshold tutor.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I would say the nominees in this category, well, and what about... What about fetch lands?
I would take that. Similar to Scape Shift, I would take fetch lands out of contention.
Okay, because they're too specific.
They're more rant mana fixing. Like, if we just played lands that did the exact same thing, but we're just like, when this enters the battlefield, pay one life, they are, and pick two colors.
Put down for me Primeval Titan and write Expedition Map under it. That's my money, that's the runner up in this category. Okay, moving on to the next category. We are going to get into, well, we're going by card type tutors, right?
So
creature tutors?
Yeah, sure. Let's do creature tutors.
All right, so the baseline for creature tutors is Court of Calling, through and through. It's also the most played tutor in Modern.
It is of all tutors, probably had the most, other than the fetch land conversation.
Right.
Which is why I don't want them in contention, because they just win and it's boring.
Fair.
Court of Calling is the most successful from a tournament perspective tutor in Modern's history. partly on the back of both Collected Company and Birthing Pod. So it has rarely been the single piece that does that. Though if you look at Elves, it is part of that. Though Collected Company is in Elves also. So that's kind of, it comes in hand with a engine. It needs an engine card to kind of promote it. Partly because it needs multiple creatures in play. So
right.
it needs an engine to build up to get to the point where you just win by casting it. But it does that.
Yeah.
It does that regularly.
So yeah, it's, I mean, that card is, it's very powerful, and there's a lot of space to explore with that card. Now, you do it, you are restricted just a little bit in terms of how you build your deck, but that's going to be the case for most of these. We don't have a Demonic Tutor in the format, so you have to work with what you've got.
Next on this list?
Yeah.
Where'd it go?
Next on this list. This is another one where...
Summoner's Pact.
Okay, I was going to say the other one that, again, we're going to wait until we get to Threshold Tutors is... Traverse.
Yeah.
But
Traverse,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. But that, yeah, we've created a threshold category
yes.
for it. So I have a few here, though. We have, I think Pact.
Summoner's Pact?
Summoner's Pact is a possible shoe-in for this
searches
as well.
Searches for a green creature, right?
Yeah, it searches for Primeval Titan.
Yeah.
Almost always.
I've
and when
never...
it doesn't, it's like because that other thing you're getting is better, which means it's Thrakdusk.
Right. Or probably, have elves ever played this to get like a Crater Hoof Behemoth or anything?
Yeah, they definitely do. Yeah.
But
I think like this is where also Tolario S comes in play.
Right.
Like, the engine and like that's why the Amulet deck still exists, and I think there's other versions of that deck of just casting Primeval Titan and getting a bounce land and Tolario S, returning Tolario S to your hand to then be able to the next turn use Tolario S to get a Summoner's Pact to get a second Primeval Titan. Because the nice thing about Summoner's Pact with Primeval Titan is the Primeval Titan brings in the lands you need to pay for the Summoner's Pact.
Right.
So it's like this crazy engine that just goes off.
And it's still a deck. It's still a deck.
Yeah,
people
totally
are still
a deck.
It's like still pretty good.
Yep. The other big creature ones, Fauna Shaman.
It's a good one. I like Fauna Shaman.
The problem with Fauna Shaman is that it isn't a 1/4.
Yeah.
The fact that it dies the Lightning Bolt and or now Fatal Push and or now Path to Exile makes it really hard to kind of gain the value you want off of it, and it's just a little slow.
How sick would it be if it was a 1/4?
It'd be much better.
It still dies
well,
to
now,
two of the
now,
three cards.
Now it's way worse.
Yeah, because of Fatal Push.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fatal Push has really warped the format. It's like really...
Oh, it's just a really good removal spell.
Yeah.
Probably for the better.
I think so, too.
And the last big creature one... Important creature, because there's other ones. Eldritch Evolution, though.
Yeah, no one's really played Eldritch Evolution.
There's definitely kiki decks that play Eldritch Evolution that are Eldritch Evolution plus Court of Calling.
Sure.
That are just like, I win if I resolve this spell and you let me have a creature that gets into this in play.
Right.
It's just a little inconsistent.
Yeah.
And it's a little win more, I want to say.
Sure.
Not necessarily win more, but it's like doing something that isn't as powerful as what Birthing Pod was doing.
Conditional tutor in this category that doesn't get talked about that I talked about on my thing the other night is Time of Need, which I've always felt like it's not good enough to be like a prominent card, but it's a heavily unexplored card. I think one green, one colorless for a sorcery searcher library for a legendary creature card. Put it into your hand.
Sure,
it's a 2-mana sorcery speed tutor that like gets you a lot of good things in the format. There's a ton of good legendary creatures.
Mm-hmm.
So, and especially if you were going to build like some sort of like legendary-esque deck, like a legendary creature-heavy deck.
I did make Legendary Zoo once that was like very based on that sword that gives a legendary creature +4/+2, and it had a bunch of one-drop
sick
legendary creatures. Because we have...
Isamaru.
I think we have Isamaru, we have the...
the red one.
The Bell Ringer.
Zergo
Bell
Striker.
Yep. And then we have one other legendary one-drop.
One other legendary one-drop.
I thought we did. Maybe we don't. Maybe it was just those two.
No, I think you're right. There is one more, I'm pretty sure. It's a white one, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's a thing that can be done.
Oh, Kithion.
Kithion, yes. Yes. Now, but granted, you're only probably playing 2 to 3 of each one.
I was playing 4 of each.
Oh, you're playing the full 4?
Yeah.
That seems bad.
You know, I've played ways to get rid of them. It's legendary deck. It worked out. It was cool. I was killing people quickly, but it wasn't very good.
But that deck wouldn't want Time of Need because it's paying 2 mana.
Yeah, Time of Need would be really bad on it. Yeah. But I'm saying like there's legendary tribal cards.
Yeah.
Something that I do want to bring up because we messed up and we didn't mention it and we should bring it up before we continue is in the land category, and this one's like a big one and might be in contention with Primeval Titan for best land creature tutors.
Okay.
Knight of the Reliquary.
Yeah, Knight's pretty sweet.
Knight is real good. Same reasons as it's kind of an interesting thing because Primeval Titan is a I'm going to win with this card. Well, Knight of the Reliquary has the effect that I could just turn into a really good beater,
right?
But also has that more of a toolboxy effect, which we have, which is a separate category of like, oh, we can play cool, cute little lands that come into play like Pajuku Bog or
right.
The one that gives protection to a creature or
right. Sajiri Step. I think
it has
it's
like, yes, yeah, Sajiri Step. So it has this cool little ability to both be a ramp effect that is also a toolbox effect that is also just a big threat.
Represents inevitability is what yeah. that card does. If you let somebody untap with Knight of the Reliquary, because again, it's just like we were just saying, the rate is already pretty decent. Like, at the time you play this card, you're probably getting a 3-3 for 3, which is...
At worst. Yeah, normally it's a 4-4. Right?
For
a 3 mana 4-4.
Which is, like, where it's going to start. And so, at that point, you just like, all right, this card's going to do some really, really unfair stuff if
yep.
unchecked.
Back to creatures.
Yep.
Weird one, Woodland Bellower.
Oh, yeah.
Non-legendary green creature.
Weird card.
Doesn't see play. I mean, I think the only cool thing with this is you use Painter Servant to make it get the clone, and then you clone five of them, and then you have, and then whatever the next best thing.
Wait, what?
Yeah. You with Painter Servant in play, all your creatures in your deck are green, so you get the two mana clone.
Oh, Phantasmal Image.
Phantasmal Image.
Oh, that
clone
comes
Woodland
in.
Bellower, and then you can get all four of your. It's like the opposite side of the Sun Titan combo that used to exist.
Sure.
And then you get, you know, one other green creature that you like.
So you get image.
Image, other three drop.
That's pretty sweet,
yeah.
actually.
I think you get a three drop that gives everyone a creature that gives everyone haste. So there's the goblin that gives all creatures haste.
Sure.
So you get that and you just win.
Well, except you don't win because they're painter servants. So like what are they? Oh no. They're not.
No, they're woodland bellower. They're 6/6s.
Oh yeah.
You have one painter servant in play.
You have to have it in play already.
Yeah, you have to cast Painter Servant.
So you have to cast Painter Servant
and
then
the
cast
Woodland Bellower.
Oh,
yeah.
That's why this is bad.
Yeah. No, okay. This is not a real deck.
I was like, what's going on?
This is the combo, though. You could Eldritch Evolution into the Woodland Bellower.
Yeah.
Play Kitchen Finks, because Kitchen Finks are a 3-drop you can get with this guy.
Sounds Ba-bing. Sick. You've tried to build this before, haven't you?
No.
No?
Not at all. Someone else did.
Yeah. Seems like I would have tried to build
me.
This before.
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't. I thought you'd be more hyped on this. other creature tutors. Dragonstorm.
Yep. Hard to call that a tutor, but it is.
It is. It's once again, it's one of those like, oh, I win, but I technically did it while tutoring.
Protean Hulk. It's a big one, yeah.
Bring the Light is other things. Nihiri.
Yeah.
At the very end of it. But this is kind of what we were talking about before, is Nihiri to me is more of a... I'm going to cheat something into play.
Hibernation's End.
It's more like the end of a chain, not the beginning.
Is Hibernation's End a card that people play in?
I don't even know what Hibernation
really?
End is.
That strikes me as a card that I feel like somebody would have tried to play in EDH before. I'm actually surprised that you haven't played against that yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it does?
No.
Green
I don't
four,
know what it does.
Green and four enchantment, Cold Snap, beginning your upkeep. It has a cumulative upkeep of pay one, colorless. And when you pay it, you search for a creature with that mana cost and put it into play.
Wait, what was that first ability it has?
Cumulative
That's
upkeep.
Why no one plays with it.
No, but the cumulative upkeep searches for the creature.
Oh.
So you pay one, you get a one drop into play. You pay two, you get a two drop into play, searching each time.
Yeah, it's still like...
Slow.
It's still cumulative upkeep. Like, eventually, if you don't pay it, it dies.
Yeah, but you just...
You don't have a choice.
You just don't care.
Yeah.
So it's a tutor. It's an every single turn creature tutor.
Yeah, but what if you don't want to tutor that turn? But then you don't want to lose this spell that you have.
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair.
It
just seems like in a 100-card format where you're like... You get to watch what everyone does, and then you get to like tutor. That strikes me as a card that someone would have tried. I'm sure one of your EDH cronies has tried playing that card before.
Cronies. No one appreciates that. Ranger of Eos.
It's a good card. I like
this has seen a lot of play. I mean, this is in Birthing Pod decks, and now the next one, because it finds Viscera Seer and it finds other things. It's really powerful. Every time I've ever cast a Ranger of Eos, I'm like, oh, why does this card exist?
Yeah, you get... Two one drops. Yeah, it's a 3-for-1.
Yep. It's obviously a little bit more powerful in the greater formats because being able to find like Deathrite Shaman and Mother of Ruins is like...
Yeah, it's completely different.
Getting Viscera Seer and Noble Hierarch is just like...
On the subject of one drops and throwing back really quickly to land tutors, one card we forgot to mention was Weathered Wayfarer, which is interesting and a card that I actually think sees like kind of a criminally low amount of play. You know what it is? One white, one. Tap one white and a tap, search your library for a land card, put it into your hand, play this ability only if an opponent controls more lands than you. So this would traditionally get played in like white weenie decks.
I don't think there's enough good
lands.
Tutor target lands.
Yeah, agreed.
And it's slow, fragile, and what it's finding, if it's finding something too powerful, it's very easy to get rid of it.
Right.
And you, like, if a deck became good with it, it would get killed very quickly.
Legitimately.
Or it's not finding something powerful.
This card is made and broken by the lack of Wasteland in the format. Wasteland makes this card so much better because you don't have a land anymore, so it lowers your count.
I'm surprised Taxes decks don't play it. Like the
But
the reason they don't play it is because they also make it so you can't search your own deck. That's
right.
Why. So yeah, the fact that Wasteland doesn't exist in the format makes this like unplayable.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
One day, I'm shaking my head no. All right, the last kind of thing that's in this category are the kind of the tribal tutors. So these are the first one we're going to talk about is Find a Wizard.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Vedalken Aethermage.
The Vedalken Aethermage.
Yeah, tribal tutors are interesting. They don't really see a lot of play in Modern, even in the big tribal decks. And that's probably because most of the tribal tutors aren't very good. You know, they generally cost at least 3 mana. So all of the Lorwyn tutors are bad. Fairy Harbinger, 4. Merfolk Harbinger, 4.
There's an elf one, too.
Yeah, they're all... That's 3.
The Harbinger cycle.
The Harbinger cycle. The green one's better because it taps to produce mana and it searches for an elf, but they put
them
on...
It's 3 mana, but it's like it's still way...
The problem is they all put them on top of your library. That's the
issue.
Yeah. Vedalken Aethermage is interesting. I've talked about this a lot recently, and I think it just keeps getting better because they keep printing more and more interesting wizards.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's the thing with tutors in general, and that's something to keep in mind. Especially, obviously, all tutors, period. Every card that they print that's relevant to that tutor makes that card better. The reason they're afraid of Stoneforge Mystic and the reason they like eventually just had to ban Birthing Pod was because they just kept printing cards that made that card better. So.
Right.
The reason I think Stoneforge Mystic is fine is I think that the cards that broke Stoneforge Mystic is the cap for power level. I don't think we're going... If Wizards prints an equipment that is more powerful than Batterskull or the Swords of blah-diddy-blah, then they've made a mistake.
Yep. Yeah, I think the big advantage to Aethermage is that it's an instant. That's like or that its cycling is instant speed and is not a spell. So the fact that they can't counter the cycle... they can if they trick bind it or something, but in any case, so I think that's powerful, but I still think it's underpowered. Tribal tutors, though, in general, I mean, if you think about the biggest tribal decks, there's no Merfolk tutor, there's no Elf tutor that like sees play.
Well, I mean, the ones that are the decks that it's relevant to have a tutor, they play the better creature tutors.
Yes,
they're like
exactly.
Which is elves. Elves does play tutors, but it doesn't play the Elf tutor. It plays
Court of Calling.
Yeah. And play, so it's not going to do that. And it would play Greenson's Death if it was legal. So, like, when it comes down to it, it's just better to play good tutors or not, or be like, Merfolk doesn't need it because Merfolk is the same 12 cards.
Right.
Repeated.
Yeah, I don't think there's a zombie tutor that's any good.
No, right? No vampire tutor.
Yeah. Yeah,
a zombie tutor probably has a higher chance of maybe doing something, or a vampire one, just because they're a little bit more combo-y.
Right.
Like, the problem is Merfolk isn't a combo deck, it's an aggro deck. Elves is a combo deck, but there's better green tutors. So it would have to be in a color that wants to tutor for something, but needs it for combo purposes, or toolbox purposes, which is more what Wizard Cycling would do.
Right.
Because you can find Venser, you can find Vendilion Click, you can find Snapcaster Mage, Jace. Apparently, you can also find Lanessa Zephyr Mage.
All right, let's move on to the next one.
Modern staple. all right, I want to do enchantments.
Okay.
What's interesting is there's not a ton. The first on my list is Xur the Enchanter. Oh, wait. Before we go on, in the creature card contest, who's your nomination for best creature tutor?
Court of Calling.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, I don't think. Is there even a close second? I don't think so.
Ranger of Eos? Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's Court of Calling.
It would have been Greenson's Zenith.
Yeah. Cool. Enchantments. First, Xur the Enchanter. For those who don't know, it's a Esper card, blue, black, white, colorless. Legendary human wizard flying. When Xur the Enchanter attacks, you may search your library for an enchantment card with converted mana cost 3 or less and put it on the battlefield if you do shuffle your library.
This is a commander staple, right?
It's one of the top 5 commanders.
Yep.
Period.
Yeah, he's super good.
To the extent that he's like the commander that when someone picks it out, you're like, I'm just not going to play.
Because it's not fun.
It's fun for no one.
Well, yeah, because enchantments are difficult to interact with and generally speaking affect the entire board. They just get like, don't they just search for like a bunch of like ghostly prison type of.
Yeah, they, and there's
game.
Like combos they pull out. It's just not fun for anyone.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense.
He's just way too good. But in modern, there's a modern deck.
People have tried, yeah.
Yeah, and he's.
It's a weird like.
It's like
four
2.5, but there's like four color. Isn't there like a Doran? Or,
yeah.
And he uses Mardu. Ascendancy, maybe even to like.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's because it allows you to play Doran and Spellskite in the main deck, and Spellskite protects your Xur, and Doran makes your Spellskite a 4/4, and your
Xur is a 4/4 flyer.
Xur is a 4/4 flyer, and you know, and it plays you know Detention Spheres and Oblivion Rings and Faith.
Yeah, Xur is just really good.
Doesn't play Faith Fetters, I don't think. But yeah, he's good. He has seen very little play in modern.
Well, there's one deck.
It's like a deck people have tried, but it's like...
No, it's like it's top 16 GPs.
Really?
Yeah.
The Xur deck?
Like once. One time. And it's definitely top... It's like tier 3, but...
So then the second card in this conversation is Idyllic Tutor.
Sure. We can talk about Idyllic Tutor next. I had other cards, but sure, we can go there. Idyllic Tutor is also probably way too slow. It's interesting that this is rare, which is tutor for an enchantment card and reveal and put in your hand shelf of your library, which is probably weaker than... the artifact version of this.
Sure.
Fabricate, which is an uncommon.
True.
Yeah, I mean, this card's fine. It's never going to see play in Modern because it's you tap out on turn 3 to do absolutely nothing.
I don't know if you're right about that. Look, I say this every single episode. I say this on every episode. I say this on every anchor show. Anytime they have ever printed something in Magic that does something totally unique, you need to pay attention to it because it's either really bad or really good, which is why they've never done it again. They've only done this once, and it was like 10 years ago, and they haven't given us the same...
We have a few much better tutor for an enchantment cards out there, though.
In Modern?
Not in Modern. We have a few that I have here, but
yeah,
that are better than this. I mean, I would say Xur is better than this.
Yeah, but this okay. Xur was even longer ago. Xur was like legitimately 10 years ago. It was like 2006 or 7.
This was a year after Xur.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, they both got printed within a year of each other. And Xur is a 3-color creature with like super, super, like you can get enchantments with Convert Cosmetics 3 or less. And it has to attack.
Sure.
Totally different. This is an actual legitimate, I can tap.
Yeah, but we have a ton of different tutors that have been printed consistently that are all the 3-mana this tutors for something. And none of them have seen play. Regardless
okay.
of card type.
I'm not saying this is a good card. I'm just saying don't count this out because if
I'm
somebody
counting it out.
Because there are plenty of powerful enchantments.
As a person who's like tried making the green white enchantment or the green white wish work.
Right.
That was too slow.
Sure. But again, like you're
and specific, but like the tapping out at sorcery speed at 3 mana in Modern that doesn't affect the board at all. Like, yes, there's a card that could be printed that makes us powerful. If there's a 0-cost or a 1-cost enchantment that, like, affects the board significantly, then this card becomes better. Or there's a combo piece that you need that's an
yes.
enchantment that this makes.
For instance,
sure.
If somebody was playing, I don't know, Black, White, Sanguine Bond, whatever blood, Exquisite Blood combo in Modern.
So
they wanted,
like, 2 5-mana enchantments that also do nothing when they affect the board, but they win together.
But they win the game outright.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can tell me that this card is not relevant when there are actual... That's a real combo.
You've spent 3 turns doing actually nothing, and then you win. There are cards that you do half of something, and you need to get 3 cards, and then you win. And those decks are also bad.
Near-death experience.
So, I'm not saying Idyllic Tutor isn't cool. I'm not saying there's maybe not... Hey, this is a guy who likes toolbox decks. So, like, there's obviously maybe something that can come here. But I think that, like... I'd rather see a Trinket Mage for enchantments
I'm
version
sure
of this
would.
Card.
So now,
that'd be sweet, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be great. So now I want to know what
enchantment mages.
First of all, what good 1-mana enchantments are there? There's like very few. And then second, there's like a
the
couple
one that draws you a card and makes your land tap from mana.
There's
maybe?
Like seals and stuff. Anyway, the question
seals
I have
sweet.
Is,
I love seals.
You just mentioned Xur and Idyllic, and you said there was other relevant enchantment tutors.
Sovereigns of Lost Alara.
Oh my god.
Or I guess it's of Lost Alara. Yeah, yeah.
Ugh, this is the literally the difference between I'm waiting to talk about the card that I like because your idea sucks. You
my
love
idea
this
sucks.
Card.
You
no, that's
attack.
What you think about my idea because you love Sovereigns so much.
I think all the enchantment tutors are kind of mediocre, but Sovereign of Lost Alara is a powerful card.
Okay.
It affects the board immediately. You immediately attack. If you have a creature and you play this card, you have a, yes, it's 6 mana, which is a problem with it. I don't
disagree.
It
doesn't have haste.
It does have, I mean, it doesn't have haste, but as long as you have a creature in play, it's a 12-12.
Yeah. As long as
it's a 1-1. If it's a 0-1, which means that you use the cast sovereign, so most likely it's a 1-1 or better, you're attacking with a 12-12.
Right.
That when you untap, it also has the sacrifice permanence.
Okay.
It's like real good. When that happens. I mean, this was a standard defining deck. This is Mythic Band.
Yeah, I remember.
Like, this is a thing.
I remember.
Yeah, shut up.
You've just admit that you've tried to make this work in Modern like 9 times.
Just once. I just did it for a year. Geist into this. How do you beat that other than killing me before I get to turn 6?
It is pretty sick, yeah. It's a 4/5 for 6. It's a $3 card. All right.
Nothing kills it. The only thing that kills it in the format is Path.
Yeah, true.
Other than dying before it comes into play.
Right, other than dying before it comes into play.
Hey, but in Bant, you can cast it pretty early. All right. Is there any other enchantment card that I'm missing? Because artifacts get a lot deeper before we get into there.
Enchantments are the most difficult one to...
Yeah, I wanted to do a short one. Okay, artifacts. Let's do it.
What's your nomination for...
For enchantments?
Yeah.
I think it has to be Sovereigns. I mean, like, Xur. Xur is the only actual relevant one that's actually seen play here.
I'll give it to you.
Do you have a better option?
No. I don't think
Are we missing an enchantment?
I don't think so.
Search enchantment.
I've done this so many times, I can't even count. And no, I don't believe we are missing any enchantments. We are. We're missing Lost Auromancers. That's the one. We're missing Lost Auromancers. I know that because I've tried to build with that card before.
Tallow Wisp.
Yeah, Tallow Wisp is interesting.
Tallow Wisp is sweet.
Yeah.
That's one. That's a more relevant one.
Yeah.
It's never going to be a thing, but that's cool. I like Tallow Wisp. Tallow Wisp is really sick, actually.
Yeah.
Fine. I'm going to go with Tallow Wisp.
You're not going to go with Lost Auromancers?
Nope.
For those of you that are wondering what Lost Auromancers does,
it's
a four mana
vanishing 3. When Lost Auromancers is put into the graveyard from play, if you had no time counters on it, you may search your library for an enchantment card and put it into play.
Yeah. It's literally just the sweet, really, really bad Academy Rector.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Play that with Hex Parasite, you're in business.
Another fan favorite going on here. Okay. Yeah, I think Tallow Wisp is probably the best one. And it's not even close to any of these other tutors.
It's the most interesting. For those of you, because people are probably definitely wondering what the heck you're talking about there.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you explain Tallow Wisp and how it works? So it's a white and one for a 1/3 spirit.
It's 2 mana, which is a really good important sign that this is possible. 1/3 for a spirit. When you play a spirit or a cane spell, you may search your library for an enchant creature card, reveal it, and put it into your hand if you do shuffle your library.
So what's relevant about it is that it references spirit or arcane, and spirit is a creature type that has been printed plenty of times, especially it's on Geist.
Oh, yeah. There's a ton.
It's on Geist, and Geist loves to have enchantments on it.
Tallow Wisp into Geist into any
This is this is the Steel of the Godhead deck.
Yeah, yeah.
We've talked about this before.
Yep.
This is like the whole angle that you go with is like the fact that you're able to search. There are
also some weird arcane cards that you might just be able to play and gain value off of because it like.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up. There's got to be some type of relevant arcane.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's just, it's not super good. Anyhow.
Blessed Breath. Target creature you control gains protection of the color of your choice until end of turn. The card's bad. Return target enchantment, chanted permanent to its owner's hand. That's another one. All right,
let's keep going.
All right, artifacts. This is a big one. First on my list, my fave, Numero Uno, Mr. Trinket Mage.
Good card.
And the other tutor mages, but Trinket Mage is really the only relevant one. Treasure Mage might do something. It hasn't yet.
Trophy Mage.
Yeah, Trophy Mage, and then Treasure Mage is the 6-mana one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're all relevant, and they're all especially relevant.
Well, the 6-mana one's never going to see play.
These cards are the best friend of Grand Architect. If honestly, in whatever version of the deck that ends up being a thing, these cards are like literally the thing that makes it a thing.
Totally. I think Treasure Mage, if they ever print a 6-mana artifact spell or more that has a cost reduction effect on it, that's like good.
Yes.
I can see that being played, but I would hope Wizard would not do that, seeing that every time they ever create...
A cost reduction effect?
Yeah, so like Delve or Phyrexian Mana or all the really broken mechanics that they've ever printed.
Yeah, right. Makes sense.
We don't want that to happen. But yeah, Trinket Mage is, he's like the toolbox poster child. He finds all these really cool 1-mana or 0-mana artifacts. He's everything that Teleria West can find in the artifact side, plus all the 1-drop ones, which are really relevant hate cards, everything from Grafdigger's Cage to Spell Bombs, to
Relic of Progenitus,
to
Tormod's Crypt.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. At that point, you go Relic of Progenitus. But Spell Bomb, Engineered explosives, there's just a long list.
You don't necessarily, because if you search on turn three and you need it, and you search for the zero, then you play it, and you can use it.
Fair.
If you,
I'm not saying there aren't corner cases, but
Tormod script, no,
deck like, spaces that you're picking.
Definitely, but like often in the, against the graveyard decks, if you draw that Trinket Mage in your opening hand, and you're like, oh no, I don't want to mold to five off of my now mold to six, and I happen to have a Tormod script, which means on turn three, if I hit my third land drop, I can blow up their graveyard, which is so much more relevant than untap and do it.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that. That's fair. And you can plan ahead for that. But yeah, I mean, Trinket Mage is the best. Kidothu Forge Master.
No,
this
yeah.
is one of my favorite ones. I'm actually there. I'm surprised this card hasn't done more in Modern. It is five mana, but if you play a
Lightning Greaves
into this, yeah. you just win. Or not? They have to not have a removal spell, and they. But if you, yeah, if they don't have a removal spell, obviously important. But really, only path.
How do you win? Get Blightsteel?
Yeah, you get Blightsteel, and then you get Blightsteel haste with Lightning Greaves.
But you have to sack the You have to sack three artifacts to get it.
If so you're playing this deck, you play. Four artifact lands and a bunch of other artifacts, most likely ramp ones to get like that. That this version of the deck exists in a world where you have.
Can you do it on turn three?
Yeah.
No.
Why not?
Well, you have to get to five mana on turn three. You have three.
Noble Hierarch into an artifact with an artifact land and a Signet.
When are you casting the Signet? On turn two? And you're casting Forge Master on turn three. So when are you casting the Greaves?
Lightning Greaves. Yeah, you can't do it on turn three.
No. There probably is a way to do it on turn three. I was thinking Pentad Prism right off the bat because that ramps you to five on three.
Oh, yeah, just one Pentad Prism?
But you need to be able to cast the...
The Greaves?
Yeah.
Oh, so turn one, Simeon Spirit Guide, Greaves. Turn two, Pentad Prism. Turn three. You can't... that's it. I just did it. But yeah. You have to play bad cards.
And that's like, yeah, that's a...
I think it's a turn four you win,
yeah.
Which is fine. That's what Modern is supposed to be,
yep.
Is turn four you win.
Agreed.
And, yeah.
And the fact that the Forge Master, if you have enough artifacts, you don't have to sacrifice the Forge Master, so you can tailor it to get what you need to survive and then win a couple turns later.
Yeah, you can use it to find a Burr Battlesphere that can block, that you can then use to find a Blightsteel if you're not going to die that. There's definitely things you can do. I love Forge Master. I think this is a card that's probably on the brink of seeing play. There's a few of those in this list. All of them five mana.
So you have Fabricate. You've got Reshape.
Which is
good. Reshape's a good card. It's actually seen the significant amount of play.
Yeah, it was in the eggs deck. Blue X. As an additional cost to play Reshape, sack an artifact. Search your library for an artifact card with converted mana cost X or less and put it into play, then shuffle your library.
Yep.
Really good in eggs when you're sacrificing an artifact and then getting another zero cost artifact, so you're only paying two mana. It's best looking for zero mana artifacts that you want to be put into play. Serviceable at ones. Lotus Bloom is by far the best thing I can find.
Yep.
Because two mana for a Black Lotus is still good.
Yeah.
How much mana for a Black Lotus is bad? Three? Four. Four mana for a Black Lotus is bad.
I mean, okay, they don't... Nobody plays Lotus Tap for three. What's it called?
Yeah.
The ADH card. What's that card called?
I'm looking it up.
Gilded Lotus. Nobody plays Gilded Lotus in Modern. If Gilded Lotus costs three...
Five mana for a repeatable Lotus is too expensive.
So four mana for a Sacrifice Lotus is probably too much.
Yeah, it's probably
I'm
bad.
Assuming. So three... Okay, I mean, think about it like this. Pentad Prism is two mana for two. That's a two mana Black Lotus. Which means if Pentad Prism was two for three, it would probably see play.
Yep, ton of play.
Because Pentad Prism's right on the edge of seeing play.
Yeah.
If it was three for three... It would probably be right on the verge of seeing play for the same reasons that two for two is. Even though the curve gets worse, but the fact that you can get to six on four
is like real good.
No, seven on four.
Yeah, seven on four.
The fact that you can ramp to seven mana on turn four is pretty astounding.
Yeah, I think three for three. So the answer is four for three. Four mana for three is not playable.
Yeah, I agreed.
Okay. Steel Shaper's Gift.
Yeah, this card's good. I mean, this card is one of the powerful, underrated tutors, I think.
So for those who don't know, it's one white, search your library for an equipment card, reveal that card, and put it in your hand. There's also, on the enchantment conversation, that's also relevant, there's a two-mana version that search for artifact, equipment, and or aura enchantments.
Right.
That I also think is a little underrated. There are a lot of sweet aura removal spells.
Big time.
So because of that, you kind of have a sweet little play. If you're looking for more of a variety, both of these cards, I think they're interesting. Beyond that, from an artifact perspective, Tezzeret the Seeker.
That's the other one, yeah.
This one, I think this is highly underrated. We were talking about this before the cast. I think it's kind of artifact birthing pod.
Sure.
In the sense that, and I took this to GPLA, and my biggest regret, I think, after that tournament was not playing four and not having Fatal Push printed yet. I didn't realize that at the GP, but now I do. But the ability, when it comes down to it, if you're playing four Sword of the Meek, four Thopter Foundry, and one Time Sieve.
Yeah.
If you untap with him, and you get any of those before turn five, if you untap with him, you win.
So you're saying you win on turn six.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the rest of your deck is grindy Thought Seizes and Inquisition of Kozilek and Fatal Pushes and probably Abrupt Decays. You probably splash green for that. So, like, at that point, you're just playing. And you're also playing probably all the two-mana ramp artifact spells.
Sure.
So you're also going to be playing a deck that casts him on turn four. But, yeah, so turn four, turn five, turn six, that's the window. But you'd be playing a control deck. This is a Tezzerator deck.
Yeah.
You're playing a deck that also, like, doesn't hate having Dredge from Below.
It's also a Sword of the Meek deck.
Yeah. And you just have Sword of the Meek in there. So, like, it is obviously meant to be more grindy.
It's Staring Bridge.
Yeah, it's Staring Bridge. I say Sword, yeah.
Every time.
Running jokes are fun. But, yeah, so he plays very much like Birthing Pod did, where Birthing Pod, if you untap with Birthing Pod, you probably won.
Yep.
You play it first turn, you get the first piece you need. Second turn, you get the last piece you need, you win. This is very similar, where you will likely get one of the pieces you need beforehand, and then you have him available to just automatically win when he goes off.
Yep.
And if he's not doing that, he's a good ramp card. He does other things that are relevant, but that ability is so strong.
Well, especially considering if you're talking about the ramp, if you're talking about the ramp aspect where you're playing, probably guessing talismans rather than signets is my get.
It depends if you what other colors you go into. If you're going into green, you need at least one green blue or green black signet.
So, but either way, the fact that his plus ability is to untap artifacts and you're playing a control deck with lots of one and two mana spells means that you probably play him, you probably ramp him out on turn four and then untap two artifacts to leave mana open for whatever, whether you're counterspell
or removal spell. Yeah.
Yeah. So it seems doable.
Yeah.
Seems sweet. We should build this.
Yeah. Yeah. I did for a GP.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything. Well, I like lost. Mostly because it was like, in testing, the deck was really good against every tier 1 and tier 1.5 deck, but I got paired against a random Goblin Brew in round 1, and so was in the loser's bracket, because this deck can't beat a weird Goblin 8-whack deck.
This was also before Fatal Push, which is
was way before Fatal Push.
Whole different ballgame.
And so, like, paired up against an aggro deck that I wasn't planning for, and then was in the loser bracket, and then every deck I played against was a weird brew that, like, just didn't kill you the way like the main decks of the format were killing you at that point.
Yeah.
And so, like, I played against a Collecting Company Blood Artist deck, which is sweet, but also completely unbeatable when you're like not doing anything. But yeah, so that was the format then.
Cool.
Any other artifact tutors that I'm missing?
Well,
we talked about not Enlightened Tutor, but not Idealic Tutor, but what's the artifact one? We just Fabricate.
Fabricate, yep.
Also, my exact same problems with Idealic Tutor I have with Fabricate. And you don't like Fabricate, but you like Idealic Tutor.
It's because there's lots of artifact tutors, and there's very few enchantment tutors.
Sure.
That's the reason that Idealic Tutor's on my radar.
But there are way better artifacts.
There are better artifacts in a vacuum. There are more powerful enchantments in the sense that they're doing unique things and are much harder to interact with.
Sure. I mean, a tutoring for either the one-off Rest in Peace or the one-off
Stony Silence?
Stony Silence is probably pretty good.
Yep.
All right. So, after artifacts, and we probably are missing stuff, so please yell at us. Who would you nominate as the best artifact tutor? We might have differing opinions on this one.
The best artifact tutor in the format.
Oh, you know what we missed? What's the one that you discard? Shaman, but
Artificer's Intuition.
Artificer's Intuition.
I love that card.
Card's really sweet.
Yeah.
No one's Mage ever. On him. There's no good art. The problem with the Artificer's Intuition is there's no good one drop artifacts to discard. The moment we get an artifact that's good to put into your graveyard, that's one mana, is the moment that deck becomes better, more relevant. If we get like one mana Bloodghast. Artifact Bloodghast.
Yeah, you have to figure out some reason that dirtling around like that is good. I mean, Mishra's Bauble makes that deck fun, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think probably my recommendation for best artifact in this category is Jeez, it might be Tezzeret the Seeker, honestly.
Yeah, mine too. Like, of all the Trinket Mage is the only other person in competition.
Those would be the two.
Kudothu Forge Master. The ones that are in it are sweet.
Reshape. Reshape of all the ones you just mentioned has actually seen the most competitive play.
That's true. Reshape has probably been the most successful.
Yeah. But I would say, for my money, Tezzeret the Seeker is the one that has the most space to be broken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eye of Ugin isn't on there. It's banned. That's a tutor that's banned that we didn't talk about.
Oh, it's been banned now.
Yeah.
It's barely. I mean, oh, actually, no. It was a significant part of Tron for a long time as a tutor. I forgot because of the Eldrazi deck.
Yeah. Like, it's definitely tutored up some artifacts before.
Big time. All right.
And we now go to... Oh, here's one. We'll do a small section next. Planeswalkers. There's one. Call of the Gatewatch.
Yeah. So 3 mana. It's Fabricate and Idyllic Tutor for Planeswalkers.
Yep, it's bad.
It's Sorcery Speed?
Sorcery Speed.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. Would these cards be playable at instant speed? Yeah. Yeah, you have to say yes because you're trying to get Vidalcan Aether Mage.
Yes, they would definitely all be at instant speed for sure. I mean, I do think that...
I'd be interested to see that cycle. I would want Wizards to maybe print that cycle.
Yeah, that seems perfectly reasonable. Make them. You can't. Would you make them Mythics?
That'd be regular rares. I think they'd just be regular rares. I'm fine with Call of the Gatewatch becoming a rare. Like, just a strictly better
Call of the Gatewatch. Yeah. I guess they were just testing it out to see if that was going to be a thing. I mean, would you play any number of Call of the Gatewatch in the JS Doubling Season deck?
I wouldn't play any number of Call of the Gatewatch in Commander.
Well, but I'm saying in a deck that distinctly wants to be drawing.
I wouldn't play any of them in a Commander deck that is specifically doing a
Planeswalker-centric. Really? That seems crazy to me.
It's so slow.
But if you're playing all the Planeswalkers...
I'd rather just play a Planeswalker.
Sure.
I'd rather, if I'm playing a Planeswalker deck, I have a bunch of Planeswalkers in it that'll just play. There's no, Planeswalkers don't combo. You know what I would maybe have played it in? If I would maybe play one of this in a Saheeli Wray copycat deck.
Sure, but like, you don't hear what I was just saying about Jace, because that's a combo.
I get it, but you're playing 4 Jaces in that deck. Like, I would only want to play this in a deck that I'm like trying to not play all of the Planeswalker for some reason.
Sure.
Or I'm planning to try and get multiple Planeswalkers that I would need. In that deck, I just want more Jaces. I don't want a fifth Jace. That deck already doesn't do anything.
it's beautiful to me that the two slow tutors are both white in that deck. They get the two halves of the combo. So you have to decide how many Idyllic tutors and Call of the Gatewatches to play.
Yeah, you want
play.
Neither.
Yeah, it's a shame that they're...
I'd rather just ramp decks and card draw.
Why can't that card just be one...
any, like, Preordain.
Why can't that card have one card? Like...
A tutor or a planeswalker?
Yeah,
that'd be sweet. I'd be down with that card. I'd
if
be
that
more
card
down with
sorcery
that card than
speed,
this.
3 mana,
it's
search
so
your library
no
for enchantment or planeswalker. It would probably make that deck a thing, and I think people would play it in that deck.
I think it would be played in that deck. I don't think that deck would be a thing because of it, though.
I don't know. That deck's insanely powerful. That deck, you literally play. Well, no, you have to play the 5-drop first.
Yeah, you have to play a 5-drop on turn 6 if you survive playing a 5-drop that doesn't affect the board when it comes into play on turn 5. A turn that if a deck can't kill you on turn 5 when your opponent does nothing that turn.
Right.
What are you doing?
And how many of the Jaces at that point have you drawn anyway?
Yeah. Yeah.
Such a case of the feel bads. You like play it with like two of them in your hand already?
Yep.
Ugh.
Well, you play the first one and you play the second one afterwards. Yeah, it's still bad. All right, now, spells. First one, and I'm always surprised Merchant Scroll hasn't seen more play.
I know. It's always right. It's right on the edge.
This is like this is blue instant card, which is very specific, but for 2 mana, and this still doesn't see play. Part of the reason is that blue instant spells, there's not that many.
You're literally just searching for Gifts Ungiven.
Yeah.
It's just like what you're doing.
We'll talk about it in a second. But yeah. So like it's definitely, I understand why it hasn't. There it's not like in Legacy where there's Spreading Seas.
Force of Will.
No, the Seas.
Days.
All your islands tap for 2 mana. For 1 blue mana.
High Tide?
High Tide.
Got it.
So like High Tide makes sense because you're looking for a card either, you know, you're looking for a combo piece. There's no instant speed combo pieces you're looking for. If they ever print one, then Merchant Scroll will probably see play.
This gets, what's it called? It gets Paradoxical Outcome, right?
Paradoxical Outcome.
That's that card. That's the.
It does get Paradoxical Outcome. I don't know how good that is.
Considering you don't, yeah.
I mean, I've actually played a lot of Paradoxical Outcome because my standard deck right now is a $50 eggs deck or Cheerios deck in standard, and it's sweet, and it's better now. Like, the format got better for it.
Right.
Zombies is probably a bad matchup, but, like, I've played against a lot of Aetherworks Marvels decks, and they can't beat me because my deck, like, locks them out.
I love that you play that deck. You're like, I don't really play standard, but I play this one obnoxious deck. It's
I'm
just
going
to
make you miserable. It's great. I have a great time. It's funny. If I'm going to be miserable playing standard, I'm going to make my opponents miserable playing standard. I think that's a fair place to come from.
All right, so we're on spells. We're
Mystical
on spells.
Teachings.
Yeah. I mean, we can just cover... I mean, is Teachings in...
Teaching decks is close. I love Teachings. Search your library for an instant card or a card with flash, reveal it, and put it in your hand, and it has flashback for a black and five. There's a lot of value here. It's an instant, like... Mystical Teachings is a deck that's always kind of been on the edge, and it's just not powerful enough.
Yeah.
But you get the right instance out there, or the right flash card, and this could very easily become a much
stronger It's a standard powerhouse
card.
Way back in the day. Yeah. Back in the day with Teferi, this was a thing.
Totally.
Teferi's sweet. I think it's crazy that Teferi's like never shown up in Modern as a thing.
It's a sideboard card. It was a sideboard card, especially in the Twin days.
Yeah.
Because it just like locks instant speed decks out, which makes your life a lot better. That's it on spells. I don't have anything else.
We already cut. Yeah, so Bring to Light's later, right? Bring to Light is like, I guess it's part of. We'll talk about it.
Bring to Light is part of the Traverse the Overwald catch-all area.
Threshold.
Because it looks like we're going to cover everything just by card types. Last card type that we haven't talked about. Where'd it go? Was that it? Did we go through all of them?
I think we went through all of them.
Cool. All right. So now, last but not least, the kind of the catch-alls, the more than just one card type. We're not going to go through all the black ones. There's a ton of bad black tutors that are all more than four mana. The only one that I would maybe think of is Sidisi.
There's Sidisi, and then there's the black one that if you have the spell mastery, gives you, turns it into demonic tutor and gives you three black.
Yeah. But they're both five mana, which is a huge problem.
Yeah.
That one's semi-relevant if Storm was more of a thing in black, but it's not. In Legacy, that card sees play. And then Sidisi is sweet. If Birthing Pod was still around, I would actually be surprised if it didn't
Demon.
See play. Runescarred Demon is a seven mana one. But, like, I mean, Sidisi does a lot of what Birthing Pod used to do.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that... Well, it's because the Kiki-Jiki versions of the... I'm surprised more... What's it called? Decks. Eldritch Evolution decks don't play one-ofs.
Right.
As just, like, the fifth one, just on the top end. Because it does a lot of what that card does.
Right.
I really like Sidisi. I think Sidisi is maybe a little underrated.
Sure.
You just have to cheat her in the play somehow, but...
Expensive, but yeah, but good.
She tutors for anything. Yeah. And she's expensive, but, like, you're getting a 4/6 Death Touch attached to it, so it's going to fight anything and then is a real threat. 5 mana for a 4/6 is, like, good.
There's, like, a lot of, the situational black ones. Spoils of the Vault and, like, all just these cards that
Spoils
are,
Spoils is probably the best one, and it's kind of a tutor.
Yeah.
Kind of. Like, Ad Nauseam was... We asked on Twitter, and people were like, Ad Nauseam! Like, that's a tutor in the loosest sense of the word.
Yeah.
Like, Mass Card... Like, I wouldn't include Dig Through Time as a tutor.
No, it's Selection.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Selection.
And then... Gifts.
Yeah.
Gifts Ungiven. Probably one of the better tutors in the format.
Yeah, Gifts... I mean...
It hasn't seen a ton of play, but it's just so much on the edge.
Oh, it's seen plenty of play. It's seen over the years relative to
and
most
Storm,
of the tutors.
It's seen play. Yeah,
just general control decks. I mean, what's really interesting about Gifts Ungiven is like, it's always so tempting because of how complex it is of a card to
just run it.
Yeah. Exactly, because it's tempting to build your deck around like, all right, I have this two card combo that I want to set up. Let's turn this into a Gifts deck.
Yeah,
because between Snapcaster Mage, Noxious Revival, that card I like, Postmortem Lunge, which allows you to cast the creature out of your graveyard for its casting cost and give it haste.
Sure.
So like, if you're trying to make any kind of creature combo work, like that card, there's a package that you can put together of 5 to 6 cards that go along with Gifts Ungiven that makes any two card combo, as long as it has a low enough CMC, doable on turn 5 or 6. Not to mention the fact that Gifts, because of the way that it plays with Unburial Rites, makes it just powerful to play anyway. Gifts is always on the edge for me. Gifts is probably, in this category, Gifts might be close to the top for me as far as my nomination goes.
Okay. No, I love Gifts. I mean, I'm a big fan also of just searching for Elesh Norn and going for it.
You also have the Delirium one. For
also, I had Gifts in Modern Masters 3 draft. twice. Yep. And both times I had four different flashback spells, including Lingering Souls. Sick. And getting four flashback spells with gifts is one of the better feelings I've ever done in a limited format. Because what, like, I drew six cards. It's four right. mana instant speed, draw six. I'll take it. All right. So next on your list, this is, I think, your number one. Every time we've talked about this, this has been your number one. Traverse the Ulvalwald.
Well, there's a lot of reasons.
It's format defining at the moment.
At the moment it is format defining.
It's probably two. If I were to pick two cards out of Death Shadow that I would put on my list of could be banned.
Yep.
Traverse is one of them.
Yes. It's
or three cards.
There's Street three Wraith. Cards.
Street Wraith.
Death Shadow.
Traverse Ulvalwald. No, not Death Shadow. If they ban Death Shadow, I'll be so surprised. Street Wraith. Mishra's Bauble.
Traverse for me.
They're all three cards that have precedent for doing dumb things that they've banned before.
The question is, and this is like what we'll get into right now. So, Glittering Wish is another one on the same list here. But Traverse.
Glittering Wish isn't a tutor.
It is.
It's
a specific kind of tutor. You have to build your sideboard around it as opposed to your deck.
Sure. I will concede that we could talk about it, Wishes, here on this episode as part of the Tudor family, and then they are related.
No.
But I think they're more cousins than they are brothers and sisters.
Your 75 is your deck. 15 is part of your 75. Glittering Wish references 15 cards in your deck. It encourages you to build a part of your deck to be searchable. It's absolutely.
Okay.
No question. It's no different.
I'm going to leave this up to Twitter. Twitter is Glittering Wish or Wishes. Are Wish cards tutors?
Think about it like this. Think about it like this.
I'm not disagreeing or agreeing with
you. No, let me just use an example. If you play a card, let's just say you were playing Supply, Demand, or Time of Need, or Vedalken, Anthem, any of these conditional tutors, it's referencing probably like 13 cards in your deck or something like that. 11, 12, 13.
Yeah, but you could draw them.
The likelihood of there being more than 15 searchable cards in your deck with any of these tutors referencing is not that high. With between lands and everything else, 15 is probably around the number of cards that are going to be able to hit by the tutor anyway, which means I think that Glittering Wish qualifies.
Okay.
So, but back to what we were just talking about with Delirium Tutor. So, this is like the
Traverse
most...
Traverse the Ulvalwald.
Yes. This is the most unique tutor put in a long time, because if you build your deck correctly, it's just bananas powerful.
Yeah, totally bananas.
It's crazy good. It makes like... When I was thinking about this, I was like, all right, so if I was to go into green in the Lunessa deck and figure out a way to make Delirium work, this is just infinitely better than playing Vedalken Aethermage. So then I was like, all right, well, how hard is it to get? I was like, how difficult is it to make your deck into a Delirium deck? What I found was, it's not that easy. I think you have to actually build your deck to be a Delirium deck. You have to actually build your deck to be a Delirium deck. I love talking. Oh, you just weren't paying any attention. I could see it in your eyes. I just know it. I know. What was I just talking about?
Delirium decks.
It's really difficult, and building your deck to be a Delirium deck is not as easy as advertised. This is what started this entire conversation.
Well, that's why Mishra's Bauble is probably number one on the chopping list, just because it's a card that breaks the newest mechanic that they printed.
Right.
And it makes those cards probably slightly too powerful in the format where they weren't originally intending it. And it's a card that like shouldn't be as good as it is.
Right.
And it was on the edge because, like, you know, Chapin was messing around with it with the red
Prowess deck
and you know, it did some stuff, but like every time it's good in a way that Wizards wouldn't like a card to be.
Right.
Which is why I think Mishra's Bauble, like if I were to like invest in Mishra's Baubles, I think that's a mistake, because I think they're either going to reprint them or ban it. And one of the other is going to happen before the other one.
Fair.
Or maybe both.
I mean, I personally don't think that Traverse the Ulvalwald being good in specifically in the Death Shadow deck is that much of a problem. And I like what Mishra's Bauble does because I like that it's such a unique card. I would be on the side of them reprinting that card more than I'd be on the side of them banning it, at least in my opinion, like what I would like them to do. But I see what you're saying, that the correct move for them to do is to ban it if they want to be consistent with their policies. Long story short, I think Traverse the Ulvalwald is probably my nomination for the best card in this cycle of cards because of the amount of flexibility it offers a deck for one green mana. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
On turn one, this just gets you a basic land. On turn one, this just gets you a basic land into your hand. All right. I'm going to stop talking so you can stop looking at your phone and pay attention to what I'm saying.
No, I mean, I think Traverse the Ulvalwald is extraordinarily powerful.
Okay.
And you have a much stronger opinion on that, too.
What else do we have? What else do we have? Is there anything else in this category?
Bring the Light.
Oh, yeah. Bring the Light's quite good.
The problem with Bring Light is, I mean, we've talked about it once. But a lot of these are 5-mana things that can win you the game when they happen, but they're 5-mana. And Bring Light has that exact same problem. The best place it's seen play is Scapeshift decks, but Titan Shift is just a better version of those decks, really.
Shout out to Marie Ritsu, listener of the show and listener to Anchor, who called in and actually shared their opinion on Bring Light just an hour ago.
Beyond that, I think that's it. I think those are the primary. There's like obviously probably some tutors we haven't discussed. There's the black. You have to have your Hellbent to be able to tutor for something that
Infernal
Tutor. Never seen play in the format.
That's always been a fringe one for me that I'm always like kind of shocked that it
without a Lion's Eye Diamond, I don't see it ever seeing or a Lion's Eye Diamond like card that creates a benefit for discarding your hand and tutoring.
One with nothing. It's so bad.
Isn't that just you discard your hand?
For one black.
Yeah, but like the point of Lion's Eye Diamond is you can cast Grim Tutor.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Then discard the rest of the cards in your hand in response with Lion's Eye Diamond and create that mana. So you need a way to, in response to Grim Tutoring, discard your whole hand.
Right.
And there are some effects that do that, but then you have to, whatever you get has to win you the game after that. And in Storm, in Legacy, different conversation.
Right.
Because you have Lion's Eye Diamond.
Modern is much harder, yeah.
One day.
I think that pretty much covers all of the tutors that I can think of.
Actually, I would say that hopefully Grim Tutor is never good.
Grim Tutor is...
I think a deck that would be good with Grim Tutor is bad.
Which one is Grim Tutor? Starter?
That's the one where you have to discard your hand.
Oh.
No?
Really?
Yeah.
You mean Infernal Tutor?
What's Grim Tutor?
Infernal Tutor is the one in Modern that we're talking about.
Oh. Grim Tutor. What's Grim Tutor?
Grim Tutor is, I think, a starter card from way back when. It's like 3-mana, maybe?
I don't think Grim Tutor exists. That's not a card.
Really?
Doesn't exist.
No, it does. It's 3-mana.
Oh, it's not in Modern.
Yeah, it's black, 1. Search your library for any card, put it into your hand, you lose 3 life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Cool.
It's a $232 card from Starter.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it. I mean, this episode's already gone really long. So of all the cards, who's your number one pick for number one?
For best tutor in the format?
Yeah, Ryan, we'll put up a Twitter contest. We'll both pick our best. So to read off some of the nominations... Land Tutors, Primeval Titan or Expedition Map. Creature Tutors, I think it was
Court of Calling.
I think your pick for best catch-all tutor is Traverse to Ulwald. Best Artifact Tutor is Tezzeret or Reshape. Best Enchantment Tutor is Sovereigns of Lost Zer the Enchanter.
Planeswalker Tutor
is Call of the Gatewatch. Is there no other? Nope, that's not even a tutor. It's a collected company for planeswalkers. Yeah, there's not a lot of those.
Is there a search your library for a permanent card?
Best spell tutor? Gifts.
Are we forgetting a search your library for a permanent card and put it into play? Convert a mana cost X or less?
I don't think that exists.
You keep talking. I think it might.
I think that's Bring to Light.
That's not permanent, though. It's
enchantment,
like
spells, and
creatures,
lands.
I think. It's like 3 types.
Creature, instant, or sorcery card.
Yeah, creature, instant, or sorcery. So it's not permanent card. I'm going to just search your library for a permanent card. Keep talking. So what's your vote?
My number one vote is probably going to be Court of Calling.
I would have such a hard
time. Most tournaments.
I would have such a hard time arguing against Court of Calling. Yeah, I think it's what I really want to say is Primeval Titan.
Yeah, I think that's second. I think that I would concede to Primeval Titan. I think those are definitely the top two.
Yeah.
When did green become the best tutor color? What's black doing? Black needs to get on its get better at tutoring people.
Wargate. That's what we forgot.
Wargate.
Yep. Wargate. That's the one I was thinking of.
Definitely not the best. Wargate is sweet though.
White, blue, green, X. Search your library for a permanent with converted mana cost X or less. Put it into play. That's a powerful card.
Yeah. I like Wargate.
Oh, and then the last one that I was forgetting about that I wanted to reference was the. What are they called? Transmute cards. Just the general cycle of them. We only talked about Teleria West. They're like generically pretty powerful because Muddle the
Mixture. The best two are Muddle the Mixture and Teleria West. And then I guess there's that one black one that's the blue black one. That's
Dimir House card. No. Blue black is, there's Perplex.
Yeah, Perplex is what I'm thinking of.
Gets a 3-mana card.
Yeah. Those are probably the 3 best.
And Drift of Phantasms gets a 3-mana card also. It's a blue, just a blue card. It's the 0/5 flying.
Yeah,
creature.
Yeah. But Perplex is a card itself that is playable versus... Because that's the thing with all of them is the blue half. Is the blue half playable or like Muddle Mixture is maybe the one that's a little bit different because it getting a two drop is super relevant.
And the blue half is pretty playable. It's just the fact that they cost three is the problem.
It's definitively how playable is the regular card. And Tulare West is a land. Like, if it's in your opening hand on turn one, you play it on turn one. You just won't use it as a tutor. And same as
Muddle.
Muddle the Mixture. It's just a decent counterspell.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And Perplex is card draw?
No, I think it's counter target spell. Opponent may discard their hand.
Which is fine. I would definitely take this is going to counter most decent cards,
yep,
but not highly important cards, or it's going to lock them out of the game.
Or it's going to search for what I need.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like cycling. It's a very counter target spell unless its controller discards his or her hand.
I think Muddle is pretty relevant. So yeah, that's what I would say is,
tutors are great. Thanks guys for listening. That we're already like at an hour 10. So, love you guys. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. I'm at Kes Wiley. You are at Ben Bateman Media. We are collectively at the MMCast. If you want to tune in and tell us what your favorite tutor is, please tweet at us. We'd love to hear what your favorite tutor is. Make sure to check out our Patreon. There's cool stuff you can get. Donating to us makes it so this podcast can continue happening, especially now with all of the life limitations and making it so we can get on to doing stuff from abroad. If you can check out the Command Zone at collected.company, that's where we are. That's where they are. That's where they do all their cool video content is there. There's a show where Josh argues or debates with the professor from Tulare Community College. That's really good. They do their game nights. I'm in the second one. If you want to go see me rocks and birthing pod and see how well I do. Spoilers, well, because Birthing Pod is a broken card and a tutor that wasn't modern. Yeah. If you want to follow us on Instagram, follow us on Facebook. Facebook is definitely probably the second place after the Patreon, the best way to communicate with us in a more open format. Obviously, Twitter is probably the easiest and quickest way to get to us. Make sure to check out Anchor and listen to Ben's 10 Minutes of Magic show. He does cool stuff. It's actually, so people asked us for a way to win our Lifelinker app code.
Yep.
And the best way to win the Lifelinker app code is to challenge Ben. That if you don't want to just give us a dollar on Patreon.
That's the easiest way.
That's the easiest way. But the hardest way, but a free way, if you really want to call having to best you at Mental Magic.
I'll explain really quickly. There's a game on Thursdays that I play. I challenge one listener to do a game of Mental Magic. The rules are a little different. It's like super simplified magic. It's kind of like tic-tac-toe meets magic in some ways.
That was my line. Yeah. I came out with that earlier.
But it's good. It's a good game.
In the way that tic-tac-toe is very much about setting up a trap for your opponent, so the choice that they make is either they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't.
Yeah.
Mental Magic functions in a similar way, where you have to position your opponent where I either have to kill this creature or I lose next turn because of a combo. Or if I don't, they're going to just gain. This other card's going to let them win no matter what.
It's fun. It's been good. If you can beat me, then we will give you the Lifelinker code happily, gladly. And so call and do that. It's the way that I've been doing with Mental Magic, which is 10 Minutes of Magic, is like Mondays, we talk about a brew, the Modern Monday Community Brew. Tuesdays, we do a whole trivia. We have a trivia league now. There's a bunch of people calling in. There's like a leaderboard. I do three trivia questions every Tuesday. That's really fun. One Card Wednesdays, I talk about some of my favorite cards. I choose one card for the day and really go in depth on it. Thursdays, we do Throwdown Thursday with the game of Mental Magic. So it's really, I've been developing it into a weekly show where you guys can just listen to a little blurb throughout your day. You can call in. It's really fun and interactive. Download the app, anchor.fm. It's really awesome. So thanks for being supportive of all of the magic things we do, guys, and we'll see you in Vegas.
Woo! That's, if I'm on a 10 Minutes of Magic, I woo. That's my thing. So I did it here as a preview. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye,
guys.
Thank you for your attention. See you later, alligator.